Jhana in Vipassana, page 24. Insight meditation, Vipassana, and jhana have some characteristics in common. When the practice of mindfulness is well established at the exploratory stage, samasananyana, there are conception of object, vitaka, repeated reflection, vichara, joy, piti, happiness, sukha, and concentration of attention, samadhi. Thus, whenever the yogi observes any phenomenon, his insight meditation is somewhat like the first jhana, with its five characteristics. When the yogi gains insight knowledge of the arising and passing away of all phenomena, he is barely aware of an arising object without thought, perception, or reflection. He has intense joy, rapture, and tranquility. So his meditation is somewhat like the second jhana, with its three attributes: the disappearance of the light, etc., upakilesa, defilements of the mind, marks an advance in the insight knowledge of the arising and passing away of phenomena. Then there is no joy, but happiness is very intense. The mind is tranquil, free from distractions. The yogi shares the joy and the one-pointedness of mind that are characteristics of the third jhana. The higher levels of insight knowledge, such as Bhanga Jnana, wherein the yogi sees only the passing away, usually have nothing to do with joy. They are characterized by equanimity and one-pointedness of mind. The former is especially pronounced in the Sankharupeka Jnana. At this stage, the insight meditation is akin to the fourth jhana, with its two attributes of equanimity and one-pointedness of mind. Furthermore, at times, the yogi's whole body disappears, giving him the impression of being in space. At that moment, he is like a person absorbed in akasanjayatana jhana. At other times, attention is fixed exclusively on consciousness, and then the yogi's state of consciousness resembles vijnananjayatana jhana. On occasions, it seems as though he were watching nothingness, a state somewhat like akinjanyayatana jhana. Sometimes the consciousness may be so transcendental that it becomes non-existent, a state on par with that of neva sanya na sanyayatana jhana. These characteristics, which the insight meditation has in common with jhana, often leads to self-complacency, which is an obstacle to spiritual progress. So in meditation, it is necessary to note these unusual experiences and reject them. In the Salaka Sutta, the Buddha, after pointing out the misleading character of the jhana, proceeds to spell out the Salaka practice that is calculated to stamp out the defilements. Salaka way of life. The sutta mentions 44 kinds of unwholesome acts, speech, and thoughts which we must avoid in order to overcome defilements. These are as follows. 1. Causing harm to a living being, vihingsa. 2. Killing, panatipata. 3. Adina dana. 4. Unchastity, aprabhacharya. 5. Lying, Musawada. 6. Slandering. Pisuna Vacha. 7. Abusive or harsh language. Parusa Vacha. 8. Frivolous talk. Sampapalapa. 9. Covetousness. Abhijja. 10. Ill will. Vyapada. 11. Wrong views. Michha ditti. 12. Wrong intention. Michha sankappa. 13. Wrong speech. Michha vacha. 14. Wrong action. Michha kamanta. 15. Wrong livelihood. Michha jiva. 16. Wrong effort. Michha vayama. 17. Wrong mindfulness. Michha sati. 18. Wrong concentration. Michha samadhi. 19. Wrong reflection. Michha jnana. 20. False sense of freedom. Michha vimutti. 21. Torpor and lethargy. Tina mitta. 22. Restlessness. Udaccha. 23. Doubt. Vichikicca. 24. Anger. Kodha. 25. Upanaha. 26. Ingratitude. Makha. 27. Vying with people of upper crust. Talasa. 28. Envy. Issa. 29. Miserliness. Macharya. 30. Hypocrisy and boastfulness. Satya. 31. Concealment of one's fault and deception. Maya. 32. Lack of respect for those who are worthy of respect. Tamba. 33. Excessive conceit. Atimana. 34. Intractability. Dubachata. Dovachasata. 35. Bad friendship. Papa mitta. 36. Forgetting to do good things. Pamada. 37. Lack of faith. Asadatta. 38. Having no shame in doing evil. Ahirika. 39. Having no fear of the consequences of the evil deeds. Anotapa. 4. Intellectual poverty. Apasutata. 41. Laziness. Kosaja. 42. Unmindfulness. Mutasaccha. 43. Lack of insight knowledge. Dupanyata. 44. Bigotry. Sanditti paramasa. Elaboration of Sekha practice. Jhana in itself does not ensure the total extinction of these defilements. Their total extinction calls for complete self-training in respect of morality, concentration and wisdom. Sila, Samadhi and Panya that run counter to them. To this end, the yogi must attain at least the first stage of the holy path. At this stage, wrong views, bigotry, skepticism, the wish to kill, in short, all the defilements that can land a man in the lower worlds are rooted out. This extinction is of paramount importance. Concentration, jhana, psychic powers and special illumination count for little without the extinction of defilements. For the non-Buddhist yogi, the attainment of jhana and its preservation till death mean rebirth and longevity in the world of Brahmas. But in due course of time, he will return to the deva or human worlds, and then his bent for sensual pleasures and evil deeds may again land him on the lower planes of existence. Moreover, the Buddhist yogi who is complacent, because of his jhanic attainment, does not fare any better than the jhanic non-Buddhist yogi in that he is still in danger of descent into the nether worlds. But should he practice meditation on the basis of jhana, he can free himself from such a danger. So the Buddha told disciples not to remain self-assured over jhanas, but to practice the Salaka Dhamma that would ensure the total eradication of unwholesome propensities. Avihimsa, or non-violence. The first precept that the Buddha enjoined on his disciples is that of inoffensiveness or non-violence, ahimsa. We should avoid hurting any living being if only because we do not wish to be hurt. And the doctrine of ahimsa is acceptable to all living beings. India has a high regard for this doctrine of ahimsa. It tops the list of five major rules of conduct binding on the Jains. But the Jains go to extreme in their interpretation of ahimsa. From their point of view, cold water, green grass, or plant and earth are animate, and so we should not hurt them. The Vinaya rules forbidding the destruction of plant and grass and digging of earth were designed to avoid controversy and ill will. In reality, grass, plants, and earth are not living beings, and a non-bhikkhu who cuts the plant or digs the earth is by no means doing any evil. But the Buddha Dharma insists that we should not hurt any living being, whether big or small, that is sensitive to pain and pleasure. Inoffensiveness is more enabling than jhana. And in order to understand this, we should remember that there are three levels of this defilement of offensiveness. First, we have the kind of offensiveness labeled vitikama kilesa, which means hurting a living being physically or by word of mouth. The antidote against this kind of defilement is morality. A man who pays regard to his moral character will not hurt other people. He may have ill will, but because of his moral sense, he does not give vent to it, physically or verbally. The aggressive thoughts which we harbour are called pariyutana kilesa. We have to overcome this kind of defilement through upachara samadhi and apana samadhi jhanas, i.e. initial stage of concentration and attainment concentration associated with jhana. Concentration on an object or in and out breathing too helps to counteract unwholesome thoughts. This is overcoming defilements by repression, Vikam Bana Pahana, which the commentaries liken to the pushing aside of moss in a pond by a pot thrown into it. The yogi may be free from ill will in his post-jhanic state of consciousness for many years, but just like the surface of water that is again covered with moss, the mind of the yogi will be defiled when there is cause for defilement, as in the case of the two Sinhalese monks with supernormal powers. lying dormant in a person who does not contemplate the psychophysical phenomena that arise from the six senses, or who has not yet reached the anagami stage, are aggressive desires that become manifest under favorable circumstances. The Pali term for this is anusaya kilesa, a physical or mental event that escapes our notice, leaving us unaffected, may make us ill-tempered when it is recalled. Such latent defilements have to be eliminated through insight knowledge. The yogi who constantly watches all psychophysical phenomena will take no offense in the face of an offensive sense object. To him, everything is momentary, subject to anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So neither his sense contact nor any recollection of it makes him angry. This is the way to overcome aggressiveness through meditation, tadanga pahana. Every object which a person fails to watch is a potential source of ill will. But meditation is the basic saleka practice that enables one to stamp out its cause. Once a man attains the first stage of holiness, he is free from the gross forms of ill will that may consign him to the netherworlds. At the second, i.e. the Sakadagami stage, the ill will becomes still weaker, while at the Anagami stage it becomes completely extinct. The Saleka practice requires the yogi to avoid aggressiveness till the attainment of the Anagami stage, hence its superiority over jhana. The yogis at our meditation center are dedicated to the Saleka way of life. Saleka practice is part and parcel of their morality. They constantly watch all the feelings and sensations that stem from contact with the external world. And every moment of their awareness means suppression of aggressiveness. And in due course, they eradicate it completely. This accords with the Buddha's teaching in the Saleka Sutta. Quote, "Other people may do harm to a living being, but we will not harm any living being. Thus you should practice the Saleka Dharma that will lessen the defilements." This teaching also applies to the other 33 defilements. It concerns the practical phase of the Saleka Dharma. The Buddha preached too its reflective phase. Thought about Saleka Dharma. Chunda, I say that even the mere thought of wholesome dharmas is very beneficial to you. The mere thought about dana, almsgiving, sila, morality, and bhavana, mind development, is highly beneficial. The mere intention to observe the moral precepts, to hear a sermon, or to practice meditation is conducive to earthly or heavenly bliss. On his deathbed, Mata Kundali, a rich man's son, saw the Buddha, and he was so much full of wholesome thoughts that he became a deva in Tavatimsa, one of the celestial abodes. A frog, too, was once carried away by the Buddha's sermon, and on its death became a denizen of the Deva world. Just after the Buddha's Parinibbana, a woman of Rajagaha city was intent on offering some flowers to a tupa, a pagoda, but on the way she was gored to death by a bull. Then she found herself with a golden chariot among the retinue of Saka, the king of gods. In view of this meritorious character of wholesome thoughts, it is hardly necessary to dwell on the benefits that result from carrying them into effect. Prosperity in the human or deva world is rooted in such wholesome thoughts. These thoughts result in doing deeds, which in turn lead to happiness on earth and in the deva world. The effort to become a Buddha or an Arahat also originates with wholesome thoughts. The yogis meditating here at the center are motivated by such thoughts, and in due course, they will have the illumination that they seek. So even the conception of a wholesome idea, thought, or desire is very important. The Buddha says, Chundu, the mere thought of ahimsa, inoffensiveness, is beneficial. You should cultivate the thought, other people may hurt a living being, but I will not hurt any being.